and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and certainly for the next hour, we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful guest. Hopefully we'll have him on the line very shortly. But before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on over in Syria. And if you read what's happening, of course, the rebels have occupied the suburbs of certainly of the city there in Damascus, and certainly the Assad's forces are shelling and using rockets and helicopters simply to blow up whole sections of the town of Damascus. And apparently, at least the suburbs have been pretty well destroyed. And you know, there's a prophecy in the Bible, and it talks about how Damascus is to be destroyed. Now, what's really so interesting about that prophecy is Damascus has been around for pretty close to 4,000 years, 3,500 years or more, and Damascus has never been destroyed. And yet today, of course, large parts of the city simply in shambles. We're going to have Cheryl Hancock with us tomorrow evening. She's over in Israel, and perhaps she can give us a little better idea of what's going on over there. But of course, over 60,000 innocent civilians have been killed. Hundreds of thousands have fled Syria. Probably 750,000, maybe approaching 1 million refugees from Syria. They've had to give up everything. They've lost their homes. They've lost everything, all their belongings. Syria is certainly in the midst of a civil war. And you, ladies and gentlemen, you can be proud. You are financing that civil war. It's American black funds that are financing, at least in significant part, what's going on over there. Certainly, I mean, who do you think is funding the rebels? Who do you think is arming the rebels? Who is training the rebels? We have special forces troops in both Jordan and in Turkey, and they're both actually, of course, training the rebels over there. This is not a civil war. A lot of the people are coming in from Libya. We're bringing them in. This is not something that the Syrian people want. Maybe they don't like Assad, but they don't want a civil war. They don't want to lose their homes. Well, we're funding this effort to, just as we destroyed the regime in Egypt, as we destroyed the regime in Tunisia, as we destroyed the regime in Turkey. We've certainly changed the administration there in Turkey. That was some years ago. And in Lebanon, we've changed the administration. Certainly in Afghanistan and Iraq, we're remodeling that whole part of the world. What are we doing over there? Our leaders have a different worldview, and they're leading us, in my estimation, preparing us for a war with the Muslim world. We are funding the Muslim Brotherhood. We have since its inception. We've created the best enemy money could buy, and now we have Paul with us. Hi, Paul. How are we doing tonight?
Dr. Stan, it's a great honor and blessing to be on your program.
Well, I'm just so pleased to have you with us. And Paul certainly was, for at least a decade, was the major talk show host on Kay Brighton in Los Angeles, the second largest Christian station there. And I had the privilege of being on that station probably for 15 years for just half an hour a week. He had 3 or 4 hours every day there. And because since he's left there, he has all sorts of opportunities to be on major radio and television across America. And I asked Paul to come with us because his views really, he sees, one of the few people who really sees and can express the true significance of this spiritual battle we're involved in. And Paul, you pick up the story.
Well, Dr. Stan, you know, I used to listen to you for years before I became a talk show host. And I was always fascinated by what you would talk about it. And I knew that you had researched your subject, but I didn't have the depth of understanding. This was about 20 years ago when you were making your presentation. And like a lot of people, there was what you said sounded true. It resonated as true with me.
Hold that thought. Sure. We'll be back in just
all right.
a moment here.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Paul McGuire, and Paul has written 22 books. He's done a tremendous amount of research trying to understand what's going on in the world today and has come to the conclusion that Apostle Paul was right when he said we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And certainly he correlates certainly what's going on today politically with what we're told is taking place in the Bible, and that is for us that there really are dark and sinister spirits of forces here in the world. They're not imaginary. There are people who actually follow the dictates of Lucifer himself, whose goal is to create a one-world government and install himself at the head of that government. And this, of course, is the goal of all of the secret societies today, or just about all of them, is to create the one-world government, and that is the primary goal of the American foreign policy today. Paul, you pick up the story from there.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. And I think what happens when people hear that kind of information, they go into a kind of psychological denial because the information is so overwhelming to their current worldview or perception of how the world works. And then, to use a psychological term, they go into cognitive dissonance where they disassociate themselves from that reality because that reality is overwhelming to them. It would require a complete rethinking of every position of their life. And a lot of people are afraid of doing that, so they slam on the brakes in their consciousness and they won't pursue truth. But as you know, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I want to talk just briefly about the area of symbolism, because when we learn what the Luciferian, satanic, occult symbols are, it provides us with evidence, tangible, legal evidence, of the fact that there are occult-based secret societies that have been ruling our world that go all the way back to Babylon. And I'm sure many of your listeners are aware of this, but I'll just give a brief recap. Babylon, as you well know, is the fountainhead. It's the origin of all the ancient mystery occult religions. And it revolved around Nimrod, the founder of Babylon, and his wife, who was a harlot, Semiramis. And what's interesting is that Babylon, in the building of the Tower of Babel, I always tell people when I'm speaking at Bible prophecy conferences, you know, God wasn't bored, and he didn't have an idle day, so he decided to put in the story of the Tower of Babel in Genesis. It's there because God is trying to communicate a powerful message to our generation about the incredible danger of a one-world government, a one-world economic system, and a one-world religion. And people are ignoring the parallels between Babylon and what's happening today. As a side note, and I know you're aware of this, when we went into Iraq, Saddam Hussein was rebuilding ancient Babylon. And I personally believe that construction has not stopped. I believe the construction of rebuilding of Babylon is going on full speed ahead. And we may live to see the day soon that Babylon is at least one of the regional headquarters of this growing global government. But the symbolism here is that when people saw the Olympic ceremonies in Great Britain, I don't know, a couple of months ago, 6 billion people saw a satanic ritual in the guise of an Olympic ceremony. And for people who understand occultic and satanic symbols, that Olympic symbol was embedded from top to bottom with hardcore satanic and occult symbols. There was the abstract Tower of Babel outside of the stadium. There was the Baphomet. There was the songs to Babylon. There was occult symbols, the Ashtoreth, and we could go on and on. We could take it apart piece by piece, even things like the consistency of the number 9, which is an occult symbol that Aleister Crowley used. So six billion people watched what was essentially an occult ritual, and that those symbols were not chosen by accident; they were chosen deliberately. But they go back to Babylon because in ancient Babylon, Semiramis, who was Nimrod's wife, was having an affair, and she killed her husband Nimrod. Now, to cover up her affair, and I don't want to get too graphic, I'll be as polite as I possibly can, she impregnated herself, so she said, supernaturally with a phallic symbol. In reality, she was cheating on her husband, who was now dead. To cover her tracks, she decided to call her dead husband. She told the people he became a god, Ra, the sun god, which is also called Osiris, Ra, Apollo, and many other names, and then she became pregnant with this phallic symbol, gave birth to Tammuz, her son. Then there was another power struggle, and Tammuz murdered his mother, Semiramis. Now, to make a long story short, this architectural symbolism is used in just about every culture throughout the world, including the United States. You have architectural buildings that look like wombs and architectural structures that look like phallic symbols. So, for example, in Washington, D.C., you have the Washington Monument, which is intentionally a phallic symbol, the Capitol Dome, which is intentionally the womb of Semiramis, and then you have, for example, the Vatican, which is a mirror city to Washington, D.C., and we see Cleopatra's Needle, and we go to Egypt, and throughout the world, we consistently see the phallic symbol and the womb-like structure. So the question has to be asked, if America was just a Christian nation founded by Bible-believing Christians, why are there so many hundreds, if not thousands, of symbols that are occultic in nature and blatantly in your face in Washington, D.C.?
Well, you know, I think I just want to interrupt. Basically, sure. Of course, there are some people who say America is all a Christian nation. It was founded exclusively by Christians, and we were founded as a Christian nation, and there's truth in that. And
true.
Then there are other people who say America was founded by occultists. There's all sorts of occult symbols all over Washington, D.C. We have a wonderful video certainly going into the occult emblems all over Washington, D.C. It's part of a trilogy on the secret mystery of America's beginning. And basically, you can see those occult emblems everywhere, and they'll say it was all occultists who created America. And the trouble is, they're both right. Both forces were here at the very beginning, predominantly Christian to begin with, but of course, as time has gone by, and they've taken God and prayer and the Ten Commandments and certainly morality out of our society, we're becoming increasingly an occult nation. And this is what people have missed. It's not either or, but it's both.
Well, Dr. Stan, you said it very eloquently, and I happen to believe the analysis you just outlined 100%, because it's neither just Christian or the occult. It's a strange mixture, and I agree with you. It was originally Christian. So I think your analysis is perhaps the most succinct and accurate in nature, because I think you just basically spelled out the way it really is.
Well, I appreciate that, and certainly with the volume of information you have, that you've come to the same conclusion I have, I think is wonderful. And we have to let people understand that. Otherwise, they're going to fall into one of two categories, either hating America because
right.
they were founded as occultists, or certainly being so heavenly-minded they're no earthly good. They simply refuse to understand that these powerful occult forces are here. But you go right ahead.
Well, yeah, and I really have come to the conclusion of your analysis. I share the same. I didn't know we shared the same analysis, but we do. It's both. I mean, when you read the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, the handiwork of God, the Judeo-Christian God, is all over those documents, especially where it talks about that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are God-given rights. They don't come from government. And then when they refer to nature's God, they're referring to the biblical God. And they're the checks and balances of the three branches of government. We can go on and on and on. So, yes, absolutely. There were some great Christian thinkers and intellectuals, as well as people who were, I think, confused. Some of the founding fathers, I think, were confused and kind of mixed the occult with Christianity. But the bottom line is it's a mixture of both. And America's greatness, the difference, as you know, between, let's say, the French Revolution and the American Revolution is that the French Revolution was sponsored by the Illuminati and occult ideas, and the American Revolution was sponsored by Judeo-Christian ideas, and that's why the outcomes of these revolutions were so entirely different.
And because of the French Revolution, they wanted to destroy Christianity. They did everything they could to destroy Christianity. Whereas the American Revolution, of course, wanted to enthrone Christianity as the dominant religion, but not one sect. You weren't to be a Congregationalist or a Quaker or a Protestant or are Presbyterian, although very, I think, probably at least 10 different sects of Christianity here. That's why the government was not to decree or favor any single one of them. But there is no thought at all that we would exclude Christianity, because America was founded by Christians so that there'd be freedom to worship Jesus Christ, not God, but Jesus Christ, as people saw fit. We'll be back in just a moment with Paul McGuire. A very important discussion to understand what's going on today.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now. 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Paul is simply saying that he believes that the average American today is under a certain amount or a certain degree of scientific mind control, that the media is being used to control what we believe, certainly the educational system, even our churches sometimes are directly or indirectly being utilized, and most people cannot see what's going on. They don't understand certainly the background of where the French Revolution, where the American Revolution came from. This revolutionary movement that began with the American Revolution, and then it was followed shortly thereafter by the French Revolution, and the Illuminati was involved with that. And then there's been a series of revolutions ever since then, the Communist Revolution. But what people have missed is that Karl Marx, who is, of course, the forerunner of the Communist Revolution, writing in the Communist Manifesto in 1848, really sort of the handbook, the Bible of communism. But Karl Marx was a practicing Satanist, and only when you really study this whole world revolutionary movement do you see the hand of Satan at every turn. And here we are today. Why, of course, the world is in turmoil. The revolutionary movement is sweeping the Near East, it's sweeping the Middle East. It's already consolidated its position of power in Russia and in China. And pick up the story there, Paul.
Well, as I heard you talking, I couldn't help but think of the Illuminati operating motto, which is order out of chaos. And that's their essential operating principle, order out of chaos. And if you evolve that slogan, order out of chaos, that becomes an extension of the communist game plan of manufactured crisis. Never let a good crisis go to waste. And by using a series of manufactured crises, whether they're economic or social or military or whatever, you can lead people to just about any place you want them to go. So the Illuminati order out of chaos is the same thing as manufactured crisis, because beneath the so-called socialist movement, and I know very much a great deal about it because I was demonstrating with the radical activist Abby Hoffman when I was 15 years old in New York. I was going to weatherman meetings, even though I didn't join because I was turned off by the violence. I'm quite familiar with radical ideology, but what most radicals don't know themselves is the underlying occultic theme that is behind radicalism. So order out of chaos, manufactured crisis is the social transformation mechanism. But back to mind control. You could call it social engineering, where you indoctrinate people through the school system and the media. You could call it brainwashing, or you can call it mind control. But I want to point out a significant event in human history, which I know that you know about, and that is after World War II, the United States competed with Russia for Nazi rocket scientists like Wernher von Braun. But what a lot of people don't know is that the U.S. and the former Soviet Union competed for the Nazi mind control scientists. And this is the thing that most people don't understand today. They understand that computer technology has taken quantum leaps, and they understand that biotechnology has taken quantum leaps. But most people don't understand that scientific mind control has grown just as exponentially as biotech and computer technology. And the kind of sophistication and level of mind control that is being used in the world today is 40 years ahead of what most people would conceive through science fiction. And I won't get into all the specifics, but it's a highly advanced society. So to make a long story short, most people are familiar with the Manchurian Candidate movies. I believe that the United States, with few exceptions, is under mass mind control. And essentially we're seeing a mass Manchurian Candidate experiment. And most people in the United States do not own their own beliefs. They're very defending of their beliefs, but they did not originate their beliefs. Their beliefs have been very subtly programmed into them.
And I think that's a beautiful example of it today with the tragedy that took place at the Sandy Hook School in Newtown, Connecticut. And day after day after day after day, we hear about those little children, the 20 little children. And, and of course, we really feel so emotionally attached to them. But nobody ever talks about the over 2,000 children who are aborted every day, the thousands of children who've been killed over in Syria. They've killed 60,000 civilians, and certainly thousands of those were children. Why don't we talk about the children being killed over in Syria today? Day after day after day. Why? Because, of course, what's happened in Newtown, Connecticut is reused for gun control. They're controlling our minds.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Dr. Stan and Paul was simply talking about Operation Paperclip. Now, you can, fortunately, you have the internet so you can check out what he's saying, and it's absolutely true. Following World War II, under Operation Paperclip, we brought a number of Nazi scientists to the United States. We always think, of course, the Nazi scientists involved with the space program, Wernher von Braun, who is a Nazi who should have been tried for war criminals, but of course, we would never do that. We also brought over many scientists who were dealing with mind control. Many of these Nazi scientists were deeply involved with the occult, and they were given key positions in America to begin to bring mind control to America, to begin to control the minds of the American people through the media, education, and of course, as Paul points out, certainly the whole certainly hippie movement, the LSD movement, the all the things that happened in the 1960s, you know, do what you want to, you know, certainly make your own life, make your own decisions. This was all carefully planned by the Tavistock Institute. These movements don't occur spontaneously. They are engineered by the invisible hand that guides our existence today. Sydney LSD, all of these things. LSD was one of the things that the Nazi scientists were working on. And so many of the psychotropic drugs we are using today, that are widely used today, can be traced back to that, have had a permanent effect on the minds of the American people. So no longer can they think Sydney independently. They simply will go along with what they are programmed to believe by the controlled media. Paul, before we go on, why don't you get out your web page and tell people how they can get in touch with you and get certainly your books?
Great, Dr. Stan. People want information. I have free articles, free YouTube, plus our books and DVDs, and free blog. I have two websites, paulmaguire.com, M-C-G-U-I-R-E, and paulmaguire.org. And either one of them will lead you to a lot of research, free articles, blogs, and books, and DVDs and stuff. So I hope people visit that. I think they'll get a lot of information that they're looking for.
And did you write that book with the day the dollar died?
Yes. I'm laughing because it's, when you write these books, you're always attacked. So I wrote The Day the Dollar Died, and the thesis of the book, I guess I wrote it about 4 years ago. That's an estimate on my part. And in the book, I maintain that the devaluation of the dollar was intentional and that the destruction of the American economy is intentional and planned. And I believe what's going on right now is all planned. This is not an accident. This isn't a failure to figure out the budget. This is the planned destruction of the dollar so that by devaluing the dollar, you can bring America to its knees and then bring in the global government and the one world currency. And I believe they have a name for the currency. It's called the Phoenix. I believe the target date for this world currency is 2018. And all somebody has to do is turn their dollar bill over, and you'll see the occult pyramid with the words New World Order on the base of it, and the all-seeing eye of Lucifer. And then look over to the right at what looks like an eagle. And if you look carefully, you'll see that it's the occult bird, the phoenix, which in legend, it rises from the ashes of the old. So the New World Order is supposed to rise from the ashes of the old world order. And we're seeing that happen now, and it could fulfill or complete itself by 2018.
Well, of course, that phoenix on the back of the dollar bill was basically put there back in about 1791. It was on the, actually on the front of the Great Seal of the United States. The symbol on the other side, the pyramid cap on the all-seeing eye, was placed on the back of the Great Seal of the United States because they didn't want anyone to see it. But, of course, the whole idea of the phoenix was, why, of course, the old society would die. And then, of course, there'd be a new society created, like the phoenix rising from the ashes. The phoenix dies and then rises from the ashes. And so it was that the New World Order, which is coming into being today, would come from the ashes of the old and destroyed order. And ladies and gentlemen, they're in the process of effectively destroying the old Christian order here in America. Go right ahead, Paul.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. And relating this to mind control, the communists outlined this, but it came before the communists. There has been a strategic psychological mind control assault on the family, Christian morality, the masculinity of the male, patriotism, capitalism, and God and the Christian religion. If you look at the assault from the media and from the celebrities and from all kinds of organizations against God's primary institutions like the family and church and things like that and the masculine role and the female role and so on, that is carefully orchestrated to destroy and break down our Judeo-Christian civilization so they can replace it with an occult civilization. I'll give you another example of that. The communists are very shrewd. They understand that home ownership, the reason they're destroying home ownership has nothing to do with, quote, home ownership. Home ownership builds in the psychological profile of the human being, a pride of ownership, a capitalist ethic that if I work hard, I'll have my own home. And if I have my own home, I'll have my own family. I'll have the American dream. I'll have a husband and wife. And so the communists understand that this psychological link between the human being and home ownership has far more implications than just home ownership. And therefore, they want to destroy home ownership because they want to destroy the family, sexual monogamy, and so many other things. And that's mind control.
I think you're absolutely right. And basically, they're doing a pretty good job of it. Half of our Christian marriages end up in divorce today. How could something like that happen? We have more Christian divorces than we have in the secular society.
Yes.
Of course, that's because in the secular society, why? Of course, they don't bother to get married. But when half of the Christian marriages break up, we have a real problem with Christianity. Go right ahead.
Yes. And this is, I talk quite openly about this. And I will continue to do so because I, without sounding self-delusional, I believe God called me to be a watchman on the wall and to tell the truth. But here's the deal. The tragic reality is that the truth of God's word is not being spoken from the pulpit. And a lot of God's people don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what makes them feel good. And because the truth and the salt and light is not coming from the pulpits of America, the entire society has lost its salt and light, and it's in a massive accelerated stage of degradation. So if we want to recover truth in our society, that truth must first come back to the pulpit. And there's a simple way of doing that. It's called stop preaching psychological motivation lessons based on humanist philosophy and start preaching and teaching the Word of God. And if preachers would be obedient to the Lord, as they're commanded to be, and if they were faithful in preaching and teaching the Word of God, that would radically transform individual Christians in our nation. And we would see the beginning of a revival and a beginning of a return and a pushing back of the powers of darkness. But as long as we preach Christian light sermons, and as long as we have pastors who are more interested in pleasing the world and being popular than they are pleasing God, quite frankly, we're going to be under the judgment and wrath of God.
Oh, I agree with you totally, and I think, I mean, we have actually a number of ministers who listen to our program, and they're under sometimes tremendous pressure not to speak out and
yeah.
do what they should and say what they should, and actually several of them have actually been relieved of their positions
right.
in their church simply because they actually spoke the truth. But I would tell you what I really believe, and that is that they've infiltrated many of our churches. There's somebody there, and if the minister starts telling the truth or really being effective, why they will organize opposition to him very subtly. I've seen it happen. It happened in the church I belong to, and one of my great regrets is that I didn't recognize what was happening and block it. One person got rid of a wonderful, wonderful minister that in a church I went to, and it was because he was being effective. He was preaching the word. Go right ahead.
What you said is very sobering, but you're absolutely right that the individuals who are organizing the ejecting of faithful ministers who are preaching the Word of God and preaching truth. As you said, this is not accidental. It's planned. And a lot of people are going to think, well, this is way out conspiracy stuff, but I have thorough documentation to back up what I'm saying. Change agents have been sent into the churches and denominations and seminaries, and they have been placed there by moneyed interests who want to break down the Judeo-Christian culture, and they do just what you say. They attack and bring down and subvert internally faithful teachers of the Word. And the history of this goes back to around 1918, 1917, when Rockefeller was financing the League of Nations. And one of the reasons the League of Nations, which was the first run at a global government didn't go through was because at that time, America was filled with Christians who believed in Bible prophecy. So Rockefeller said, we got to get rid of this. And he hired one of the Dulles brothers, and he gave, because the Dulles brothers, one was head of the CIA and one was head of a lot of United Nations programs through Rockefeller. And he gave this Dulles brother about $250 million, which is a lot of money back in 1917, 1918. And he organized all the churches, the evangelical churches, and he set up a systematic, organized operation to penetrate them and to destroy the Bible-believing churches.
That sounds like John Foster Dulles.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It was John Foster Dulles.
And basically, of course, they realized that Christianity was their enemy, and they had to neutralize it, and so basically they couldn't destroy it from without. They set out to destroy it from within. They infiltrated our seminaries where our ministers are taught, and where they get their ideas, and they're taught you should not be confrontational, you have to separate the Bible from politics, you shouldn't be involved in that. Your job is to teach people about God, but never about what's going on and how the biblical principles certainly are applicable to what's taking place politically today. Go right ahead.
Well, you're absolutely right. And so this strategy of tearing down preachers who preach the truth and relate the truth to the culture and what's going on today, this all-out assault on faithful men of God is, to this day, is being financed by Rockefeller-associated organizations that come out of the Frankfurt School in Germany, which helped create the German schools of higher criticism, which produced Adolf Hitler. And there are many church movements. I won't name all of them, but I will name one, the Emergent Church, which is the counterfeit church. And it's sweeping America. There's another movement that sweeps America. But all I would do is ask your listeners to look around and see. I'm not saying all ministers are bad. All ministers, some of them are very faithful. But look at the percentage of ministers that don't preach the truth of God's word, and they don't connect the preaching of God's word to what's really going on in society. I'm not going to judge their hearts, but for all practical purposes, they are the hirelings that Jesus Christ warned about.
Agreed. Go right ahead.
So that's that. We're fighting a battle on many fronts. Now, I don't want to leave people with despair and hopelessness, because when you read the story of ancient Israel, Israel went through a cycle of this. And, you know, the average American and the person listening to your show right now, rightfully so, they're concerned about economic collapse, loss of freedom, will there be jobs for me and my family in the future, food shortages and all these things. And I would just like to remind people listening, even though many of them probably know it, is that despite what is being taught in the pulpits of America, God is your source, not government. And when the people of God begin to look towards God as their source, and when the people of God begin to repent specifically over some of the sinful choices we have made, when this repentance is real, and when we begin to seek the face of God again with a passion, when these conditions are met, God will send his power, he will send revival, and he will set the pulpits on fire with the word of God, and there will be conversions and salvations, and the powers of darkness will be pushed back. But all these people who are talking about revival are in total delusion unless the conditions of revival are met, and the conditions of revival that must be met according to God's word are repentance and seeking the face of God, and then teaching and preaching and acting and believing upon the Word of God. If you remove those elements, you're not going to have revival, And where we are in America today, if we do not have revival, and I believe this with all my heart, God has given us a choice. Either America will have a massive revival and a turning back to God, or America will come under the tyranny of a dictatorship more ruthless and more oppressive than Adolf Hitler. And I'm not embellishing this, Dr. Stan. All my years of research have led me to that conclusion.
And it's led me to the same conclusion. And, of course, people really don't know the history of America, but certainly the country was really started about 1609, when, of course, I think the Pilgrims came. And certainly by the beginning of the 1700s, America had gone from being a Christian nation into a decadent nation. And about 1730, there was a great revival in America. And it was led by Jonathan Edwards, yes, and certainly Charles Wesley and a few others, and it transformed America. And certainly foreshadowed the American Revolution in 1776, 46 years ahead of time. And then, of course, we again went through the same cycle and once again became a anti-religious, certainly a very hedonistic society. There was a second Great Awakening in the 1830s. And I certainly hope and pray that we'll have another Great Awakening, certainly as Paul did. Paul, certainly, once again, let's get your... How can people listen to your radio programs?
Okay, if they want to listen and get in touch with me and get our resources, they can go to paulmaguire.com or paulmaguire.org. And Maguire is MCGUIRE.
You already know that calcium is important.
All right, you've got 3 minutes.
But did you know that calcium cannot be absorbed without magnesium? That's a fact. And the calcium that isn't absorbed calcifies your soft muscle tissues. Haven't you ever wondered what's really causing all your muscle aches? I'm Pat Sullivan, the founder of Jigsaw Health. I created Jigsaw Magnesium with SRT to solve my own magnesium deficiency problems. You see, magnesium helps people feel younger because magnesium keeps the soft tissues from calcifying. This helps you sleep better at night and feel more energized during the day. Call 888-352-5050 and we'll explain why Jigsaw Magnesium with sustained release technology is so much better than any drugstore magnesium supplement. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your order. 888-352-5050. JigsawMagnesium.com.
What has happened to the judicial system in these United States? From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we've seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. The judicial system was designed to ensure that the laws of the land were just and constrained by our Constitution. Now judges have immunity and cannot be prosecuted when they act outside the law. This must stop. The judicial branch needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. At that website, you can find out what's really going on in this area of lawlessness, and more importantly, you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. JudicialReformNow.com. JudicialReformNow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, Dr. Stan, I do hope, of course, you enjoyed the conversation with Paul McGuire, and certainly I've only really had a chance to talk to Paul recently and find out certainly how wise he is and how he really has such a great grasp of what's going on. I hope you'll certainly want to listen to his programs and of course, that you'll tell others about them and get some of his books. He is certainly a champion for our Lord in this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Well, this is the time I need to remind our listeners out there that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and we're able to keep going because we do have generous people who do help us. We have a few advertisers, but it's primarily the listening audience that keeps us going, and if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a case of our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you can get 64 copies at a little less than $2.40 each. And, of course, the book's ordinarily $12.95. It'll help us to certainly republish the book, but more than that, it will give you a weapon to use in this truly spiritual battle, because the book will have an impact on people who read it and contemplate what we're talking about and the realization of the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. Now, we do have some very important DVDs, certainly. If you'd like to know more about the very real danger of an electromagnetic pulse attack on America, which, according to the experts, within 6 to 12 months could kill 80 to 90% of our population, and we're not joking about that. Well, you need to hear the talk that Ambassador Cooper gave at our last conference. It's called just the EMP attack, and of course, you can get that by calling 1-800-544-8927. We have a four-tape set isn't ready yet on that, but we do have a great four-tape set on geoengineering. We have an excellent DVD on geoengineering because, you see, they really are spraying the skies. They're spraying and poisoning our food. They're poisoning our water. If you'd like to know what they're doing to the water, you need to get my talk on the hidden agenda, and the syllabus goes with that. That's the hidden agenda of the water fluoridation, not only using simply sodium fluoride, but in the areas, of course, where they use the sodium hydrofluosilicic acid. Why, of course, it increases the level of blood in black children 6 times, and this is why you can correlate that with criminal activity among the black. That's Dr. Roger Master's work at Dartmouth. And the reason nobody talks about it is you're not supposed to know. But you need to get my talk on water fluoridation. It's called The Hidden Agenda. If you want to know about vaccines, get my DVD on The Specter Haunting America. The Specter Haunting America. Now, there's an excellent syllabus with the talk on the hidden agenda. If you want to know certainly about how they're poisonous with aspartame, and they are, it's in 14,000 products. Aspartame was originally developed as a biological warfare agent, and it is being used in biological warfare today against the American people. And, of course, we could go into all the terrible things that it does, but it's primarily cancer, fertility control, pathological obesity. Certainly it attacks your endocrine system, promotes cancer. They know all of these things. They just don't want you to know. You need to get the talk by Betty Martini called Aspartame. We have 4 tape sets on that. The information is there. You need to go to our website. First of all, you get the various tapes, whether it be The Hidden Agenda, The Specter Haunting America, Geoengineering, Aspartame. You get there by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. Remember, of course, you can hear us there 24 hours a day on the Internet, iPod, iPhone. If you have a telephone or a cell phone with unlimited minutes, you can listen to us 24 hours a day at the ACN Radio Network or at Genesis. It's all there, RadioLiberty.com. And then we ask you, of course, to pray for America, because this is a spiritual battle. We ask you to pray for our leaders, our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival, but please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And we'll be back shortly. Let us all.
will be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here for the second hour of Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Well, I hope you enjoyed our last hour with Paul McGuire, and I'm just hoping we can get him on once a month anyway, so because I think his message is vitally important. But, of course, our next guest is certainly one of our favorite guests. And we have Cheryl on every month at the same time. It's the first Thursday in the month, and basically Cheryl is basically she's over there in Israel, and she's working there with the Palestinian, the Israeli people, and certainly she is the Radio Liberty representative in Israel today, and she gives us an analysis of what's really going on over there, and we certainly always look forward to having Cheryl with us, and she is on the line right now, Cheryl Hancock, calling from Israel. It's early in the morning over there, Friday morning, isn't it, Cheryl?
Yes, it is. It's 7 a.m. I'm barely awake.
Okay, fine. Well, I appreciate so much your calling us. It's really exciting to have you with us. And certainly, what's happening in Israel today? We have a couple of specific things we're going to ask you about, but why don't you sort of give us an overview of what it's like over there in Israel? Certainly, is the economy doing all right? Are the people there worried about the war over in Syria? Are they worried about the possibility of a war with Iran? What is really happening?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of big things that are going on there underneath. Yes, the elections are coming up on the 22nd of January. Netanyahu is hoping to be back in office, and another party is quickly rising, so that'll be interesting. Netanyahu wants to gather his government together as soon as possible because they know they need to stop Iran. Syria may be, they have chemical weapons. They have one of the biggest stockpiles of chemical weapons in the Middle East. And now the hospitals in Israel are preparing for cases that chemical weapons are used against Israel. I will definitely have my gas mask this week. And Israel is just has to prepare for the worst because they don't know what's going to happen.
Well, now, so basically, one thing I wanted to ask you about, there is a prophecy, and I've forgotten whether it's in, I think it's in Isaiah, about the destruction of Damascus. And certainly, Damascus has been around probably for 3,500 years. It has never been destroyed. And yet, of course, reading in the paper just today, apparently the Syrian government is shelling and using helicopters and artillery against certainly the suburbs of Damascus. What do you hear about the destruction of the city there? Is this really taking place, or is this simply something we will look forward to in the future?
Well, you know, we're keeping our ears open then, especially the believers and the Jewish people who have that in their Bible. It could be. It very well could be. There's so many bombs going off in Damascus, and of course, that's where Assad's headquarters is. Many of the embassies have cleaned out, maybe all of them at this point, I don't know, but we hear about that all the time. Even the UN cleared out, so Damascus is open, and they are fighting in Damascus right now. It could become a ruinous heap, just like it says there. Something we're watching for now.
Well, basically, of course, we hear now, as of today, they admit that there are 60,000 civilians, innocent civilians, have been killed. Hundreds of thousands of refugees are certainly over 500,000, some people say 750,000 to a million Syrian refugees. And where do they go? It's winter time over there. And certainly, what about I know some of them are in Turkey. If you were in Turkey, a lot of them in Jordan. What's happening to the Syrian refugees? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, a lot of them are coming through the borders to the countries you mentioned and to Lebanon. They said they cannot hold the refugees anymore. They're talking about having them come to Israel. The West Bank Authority, Palestinian Authority, wants them to come into Israel, 500,000 of them, and that would be horrible for Israel because then you'd have more people that hate Israel inside of this country. Israel can't afford that. So right now they're building a border fence. This news came out yesterday. They're building a border fence to keep the refugees from coming into Israel proper and get the fighting. They don't want the fighting to spill over into Israel. They're afraid that if those chemical weapons get in the hands of even the rebels are against Israel. So be clear, the rebels are against Israel. They are not the good guys fighting against the bad guys. They're bad guys against fighting and fighting against bad guys.
Hold
they
that thought. Hold not the like thought. Israel. Go right ahead, Cheryl. Go right ahead. You were just saying, of course, that the rebels over there certainly hate Israel. And certainly, what about the average Syrian? Do you think the average Syrian really cares that much about Israel? Or is it mostly simply the religious leaders?
Well, it's hard to tell. I know that there are a lot of people that just want to live in peace, you know, like many of us do around the world. And so we have to look at those people. Now, the Christians are being attacked by the rebels. But many have been raped. The women have been raped. Many have been killed. They're running for their lives from the rebels. So there's inner fighting going on, even from just the rebels and the Assad. There's more going on. They have spoken up against Israel. The rebels have spoken up, talking about they will be attacking Israel. And so Israel is listening to what they're saying and preparing. And that's why the chemical weapons is so important. There was a report that chemical weapons had been used once. They showed a picture. This is in French news, and they showed a picture of people in the hospital. They can hardly breathe. They said they were attacked by chemical weapons. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But things are heating up over there. Israel wants to protect its country. You know we're right on the border. They want the Golan Heights. They've always wanted the Golan Heights, and they can shoot down at the people on the Sea of Galilee if they have the Golan Heights.
And I think it's really, Chris, for the average American who's never been to Israel, well, these are terms that certainly are a little strange, but the Golan Heights are simply the mountain range just to the east of the Sea of Galilee. And you go to the top of the mountains are about maybe 2,000 feet high, not top big in comparison to the mountains we have here, but fairly substantial. And you get to the top of the Golan Heights, these ridge of mountains, and you can look over and you can actually see Damascus. It's about 40 miles from there. So everything is so close to there. And, of course, the fighting in Damascus today is lethal. Certainly the large segments of the city where nobody lives, and certainly the people have all fled or been slaughtered. What a terrible, terrible tragedy is unfolding over there in Syria today. And however it turns out, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, that's correct. It's going to be bad, and Israel is preparing for that in case it spills over here. There's a lot going on. As far as the refugees, now you know that the Palestinians are wanting to negotiate with Israel, but before they sit down to negotiate, they have some demands. One is to let all the Palestinian prisoners out of the Israeli prisons. The second is to stop building in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria. And the third is they want to go back to the 67 borders that Jordan occupied here in Israel, which would give them territory all the way to where I live. And I live about 7 minutes from Jerusalem.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Cheryl is simply saying the Palestinians have said that they'd like to negotiate with the Israelis, but of course they want to take that country, Israel, back to the borders they were in 1967, and Israel would have to give up so many of its neighborhoods, its homes. The Israelis are certainly not going to certainly give back all the land that they've gotten in return for peace with the Palestinians, because time and time again, the Palestinians had promised peace, that they just give them Gaza, and they gave them Gaza, and what did it accomplish? Absolutely nothing, and then they wanted certainly a large segments of the West Bank, and the Israelis have shut down a number of the settlements there, forced the Israelis to leave, and of course it didn't bring peace. And there's no way you're ever going to have peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians, not until the Lord comes. What are your thoughts on that, Cheryl?
Yeah, and that's true. Israel is still shutting down some of the settlements, some of them that are not strategic. The reason this area is strategic is because it actually it's a line of defense along the Jordanian border. I live on the road to Jericho, the road to the Dead Sea. That would cut all Israeli people, Jewish people, from West Jerusalem, because they want to have East Jerusalem. Palestinians want East Jerusalem. All this territory, all through Jericho, all the way down the Dead Sea, the Jewish people could not go down there. Right now, Israel patrols the Jordan Valley. That's the border to keep people from Iraq and Iran and Syria, all these different places, out of Israel. So they have a heads up if somebody's coming through. If they give up all this territory, then the first step that Iraq will make into Israel will be when they step into West Jerusalem. That is not a good plan. It's a very strategic spot. That's, and it was in the negotiations. Everyone knew that this area would stay as part of Israel. So Israel could control this border, have the highway from the Dead Sea to the Mediterranean, and people would be safe. That would no longer exist. This settlement, so-called settlement, which has between 35 and 40,000 people, would be surrounded completely by the Palestinians, and it would not last very long. The people here would not last.
No, we certainly remember driving up that road from the Dead Sea up into the eastern part of Jerusalem, and then over by the Mount of Olives. And anyway, we certainly just pray for your safety over there, and I hope our members of our listening audience will pray for our guest this evening. Cheryl Hancock has certainly been there for over 12 years now, ministering to the Israeli people, ministering to Palestinians, because of course her evangelism is certainly is not one race, it's all mankind, trying to bring them into a personal relationship with our Lord. Well, basically, I'd sent you an email asking you about what's going on as far as the security in the schools. We hear a lot here in America, oh, we've got to disarm all the American people so that our schools will be safe. Well, what has really happened in the schools over in Israel? Because we had heard that certainly the people there in the Israeli schools, after attacks on the schools by the terrorists, that certainly people, teachers, or certainly somebody in administration, is allowed to carry concealed weapons. Is that true or not?
Well, the people in Israel are allowed to carry weapons. Where I live, you see doctors with a gun strapped in his, you know, around his waist or stuck in his pants. You see teachers with guns. This is a normal thing for Israel because you live within areas that Palestinians can get into, have gotten into, and killed people. So that's not how they defend their schools, though. One time, years ago, somebody went in and shot the children in an Israeli school. At that point, Israel put security, armed security officers at every school, whether it be kindergarten through high school. There is a security block of cement where the security officer stays, and during the day he patrols, he watches who comes into that school, there's a fence around it. Those children are safe. No one has been attacked in a school since that one time. Israelis are allowed to carry guns, but that's up to them. So some teachers, yes, they do have guns, but not to defend all the children. The security officer is sufficient enough to defend, and I really believe that America should look at the lessons here, because they haven't been attacked again since then. If you take the guns away from the people that register them are the honest ones. The people that don't register them are the dishonest ones. And I used to be a criminal. I know that the people don't register their guns, their semi-automatics, their AK-47s, and those are the people that will have guns. How will the honest people defend themselves?
I agree with you totally. Really, it was so fascinating. I saw an article in one of the major newspapers, I think it was probably an AP release, supposedly from Israel about guns over there, and it did everything to play down the fact that the Israeli people were armed. Oh, we're sad. It says that here in Israel, we have such strict gun laws, and nobody has guns. Oh, there are few people have them, and yes, we do have guards in the schools, but that's only since 1995, but we have strict gun laws, and I thought to myself, who are they trying to kid? Well, they're trying to kid the American people. They don't want the people here in America to know that in Israel, certainly my understanding is that everybody of military age has a gun so they can defend Israel if it comes under attack. Is that pretty true?
Actually, most people, just about everybody, has been in the Army here. It's mandatory. Boys and girls join the Army when they turn 18, girls for 2 years, boys for 3 years. They are issued guns at that point. Some people register. You have to register to have a gun. Then you have to be requalified on that gun. You have to go and shoot, show that you can shoot. You have to show them any new medication that you're taking. they have to analyze you. They have to, you have to go through registration at least every year or two if you have a gun, just like a driver's license. You have a license to carry a gun, they want to know who has that gun. And that's something we don't do in America. I own a gun, and I have never been tested. I have that gun for over 20 years. And I think we should retest people, just like they do here. So that's what they mean by strict gun laws. They watch the people who have the guns. They know about those people. And it's been working. No one's been running around shooting people in theaters or schools or any place else.
And I'm sure there are a lot of terrorists there who just love to come in and kill some Jews, but of course they're afraid to do it because they know they get shot very promptly. And the best way, of course, to avoid gun violence is to have an armed population. And of course that is not what the message that they're trying to put out in America is today. The whole idea is, of course, what we have to do is pass laws against guns, take the guns away from the law-abiding people, except, of course, we're going to have armed guards. For Michelle Obama's children, they have 11 armed guards at the school that they go to. I can't see why they don't just pass a law that says, suddenly you can't have any criminals come in, you can't kill anybody in that school, and then take all the guards out. Wouldn't the Obama children be safer that way? And of course they wouldn't. Of course they wouldn't. They have to have guards there, and we should have certainly armed people in every one of our schools. There's been an armed person in that Sandy Hook school. There would not be 20 dead children today. If you care about children in the world we live in, we're going to have to allow our teachers and others to carry concealed weapons if they want to, not require them to do it, but give them the right to do it to defend the children. If you want to defend the children, make sure there's guns there to defend them. Well, certainly, Cheryl, go right ahead.
When I spoke with the man, I was interviewing him about the gun laws here. He said one thing that was interesting. He made Aliyah, immigration, from America in the 1960s. And he said one thing America is not doing is changing with the times. It's not the late 50s, 60s, where you don't have to lock your door and you can trust people. The times have changed. If we in America don't change with the times, we're going to be behind. When these things happen, there's nothing that we're doing different. Like you just said, why not put a guard there? It works. We have an example in Israel. When I go through to the mall, I have to go through a metal detector. They search my trunk. The first thing they ask me is, do you have a gun in the car? I can't even park in the mall without having them search my car. We don't want that car blowing up in a mall parking lot. So I feel safer here in Israel than I do in America now.
All right. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for our guest, Cheryl, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 at 7 o'clock over there in East Jerusalem, where Cheryl lives and where she's calling from. And basically, how's the weather over there? Is it pretty cold and miserable?
Yeah, it's getting colder, but today's sunny. We're going to get a big storm tomorrow, so people are preparing for that. You know, there's snow on Mount Hermon. We call it Mount Hermon here. There's a ski resort, and that Mount Hermon, very interesting, is on top, right next to the Syrian border. When I skied, I went to the top of the lift. There's soldiers, IDF soldiers, on top of the mountain. And they told me I couldn't go around that way. And I said, well, why? And, of course, I had to go sneak over there and find out why, because they wouldn't tell me. So as I poked my head around the corner, I saw a Syrian outpost. There are helicopters that fly around the ski resort, making sure everybody's safe. So it's quite different ski experience over here. It's a very small ski area. But, yes, we're getting snow now in the mountains.
Have you heard anything at all about one of the major cities over in Iran being evacuated, a city of 1.5 million being evacuated because of a nuclear contamination? Articles up on the Internet today about this. Have you heard anything at all about this over there in Israel?
As a matter of fact, I haven't heard that. I did scan through things even this morning when I got up to see what was new. I didn't see that yet, no.
Well, basically, I'd ask our listeners just to go up to the Internet when they have a chance and put down Iranian city evacuated because of nuclear contamination. It's a city of 1.5 million. There, I wouldn't take it if it was just one article, but there's a dozen articles I found today, totally blacked out here in America, but probably sabotage. They sabotaged a nuclear facility close to this town. A town of 1.5 million Iranians was ordered to be evacuated today. And certainly check it out on the Internet. Fascinating. Well, of course, all we know, it could be a planted article, could not be true, but it certainly has a ring of truth to it. So many various articles on this. I can't believe that all be false. And yet, of course, this is being blacked out by the major media here in America. So much of the truth of what's going on, we never talk about. We don't talk day after day after day about the 60,000 innocent civilians in Syria who've been slaughtered. And many of those, you can be sure, are Christians. Many of them are children. I mean, why don't we talk about that day after day after day and ask who's funding the terrorists? And certainly they are not Syrians. Most of them are not Syrians. Most of them are coming from other countries, from Libya. They are revolutionaries. They're being well-trained. They're being well-armed. They're being well-financed. And, of course, much of that money is coming from America, from the CIA, from the black budget. But we can't let the American people know that. Our guest is Cheryl Hancock. If you have a question, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, Cheryl, what's happening over there from your point of view when you're dealing with the people? How is Smiley doing, and certainly some of the people you've worked with for so long?
Yeah, actually, I talked with him last night. He called me. He said he just received a call from the government, as you know, that he has asylum in a country because he was put in prison for becoming a Christian and would not go back to Islam. He was there for 2 years and tortured. And so we got him asylum in another country, and that government called him up. His two boys that are over 18 have not received asylum yet, and they have only 3 months left. So now we're working on writing letters explaining that these boys are not Muslim. See, the problem with what's going on in these countries, in these European countries, is so many Muslims are going to these countries, but they're not assimilating. They're making Islam within the country. So these countries don't want them to come anymore. They want their country to be Norway or Germany or England, but there's a little Islam growing in each of these places. So we're trying to explain these boys are not Muslims. They're actually Christian believers. They have become Christians. And they're actually following it. This is for real. They really are. I may have to take a trip over there and explain to the government myself, and I'll do what I can, because if these boys are sent back to the West Bank, they will be killed. They'll be arrested for coming against the Palestinian Authority, speaking out the truth about the Palestinian Authority, for becoming Christians, and they will be killed. So in order to save their lives, we're doing all we can.
And I think it's so difficult for the average American to believe that, you know, because you profess your Christian faith and you leave the Muslim faith, you can be killed. And this is the way that it is over there. And suddenly, any one of the Muslims or Palestinians who suddenly becomes a Christian is literally risking their life. Here in America, we take the ability to become a Christian, to go to church. This is sort of certainly simply why we're entitled to do. People do not understand the courage it takes in other countries to become a Christian.
Yeah, in the West Bank right now, the Palestinian Authority is not a democratic society, and people just don't seem to understand that. Because they say they are does not mean that they are. Yes, they can vote, but they give them two people to vote for, either Fatah or Hamas. That many, many journalists have been put in prison for speaking up against the Palestinian Authority. Christians are running for their lives from even East Jerusalem. Places that they live in the West Bank, in Gaza, for instance, there's 600 that were given permission to come into Israel for the holidays, for Christmas. Those people didn't want to go back. They ran to the Israeli authorities and said, please let us stay in Israel. We're being attacked there. Our people are being killed. Our women are being raped. They're being kidnapped and made to marry Muslim men. The Christians are really in trouble under Islamic rule, and that's what it is, even in East Jerusalem. These people have taken over, and they're hurting the Christians now.
And, of course, these are the Palestinian Christians you're speaking of.
That's right, yeah, the Arab Christians.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there any force at all there that is protecting them? Is there any organization at all that is helping them? And certainly, is the Israeli government favorable towards these people at all?
Well, a lot of the organizations that were helping them have left, Gaza especially, because many of them have been killed. And some of them that we personally know and we're working with as evangelical Christians were killed in Gaza and in East Jerusalem and in the West Bank. I work with these people. The ones that I really try to help are the ones that either want to become Christians, have become Christians, or are called collaborators to Israel. They help Israel. They give them information when there's going to be an attack against Israel. These people are called traitors to Islam. And even if they were born as Christians, they don't want them in a place where they have Sharia law. Gaza, for instance, is under Sharia law.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, Sydney, Cheryl is just saying the tragic situation as far as the Christians within the Palestinian community, and certainly the Christians, Palestinian Christians in Gaza, certainly in the East and the West Bank area. These people are really under their lives. Many of the people she's worked with there have actually been killed. They simply kill them, certainly if they have converted to Christianity or if they collaborate with Christianity. Basically, this is the government we are financing. Remember, we're giving billions of dollars every year to the Palestinian government that is actively involved in killing Christians. Why do we say we're not going to give any more money if you kill the Christians? But nobody ever suggests doing that. Maybe it's too simple, or maybe, of course, that is not the real purpose of American foreign aid. Under any circumstances, ladies and gentlemen, your tax money is being used to finance the murder of Christians in Gaza, murder of Christians in the Palestinian sections of Israel today. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And certainly, Cheryl was just saying that if Smiley's sons, two of them, they're in a European country, but they may very well be sent back to Palestine. If they're sent back, the government that we are financing with massive foreign aid will have those boys killed. We're talking not something imaginary. We're talking about the world we really live in today that you never hear about through in the controlled media here in the United States. Is there anything that the American people can do?
Well, I know that the American people can pray, but we should also petition our governments. If anyone knows anything about this, they can contact me and I can give more information. But right now, one article I got yesterday was that, you know, we have been supplying the military for the Palestinian Authority. We have been supplying them with weapons. We have been training them. We actually have an army base in Jericho where we're training the Palestinian Authority, which is called Fatah, which that's the military wing. Fatah are the ones that arrested my friend Smiley, and they said, what we'll do if you don't go back to Islam is we'll let you go, but we're going to tell everyone else what you are, knowing that they would be killed, he would be killed on the street. So every day they threatened, they tortured him, and every day they threatened to let him go so that he would be killed. He told me last night, I didn't even know this, I worked with him for 8 years, but his children, he has 8 children living in the West Bank, 4 of them now are in Europe. But the kids that lived in the West Bank during that time were actually getting beat up. They were not passing their grades. The teachers would not pass them. They were treated very badly because their father had become a traitor, had become a Christian. So anyone known to be a Christian family does not get help from the Red Cross. They'll take that food and things out of their hand. The Christians are not liked. They will be fought against, like you just said, Fatah, who we trained, come against our own Christian people.
Cheryl, before we go to we have a caller on the line, Chuck from Auburn Hills, Michigan. How can people get in touch with you? Let's get your information out right now. And again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. How can people reach you and help you? And I would point out, ladies and gentlemen, that my wife Barbara and I do support Cheryl. We think she's doing a wonderful job. We wish we could be over there doing this, but I'm getting just a little old for missionary work, and I really feel that God's put me here behind a microphone. How can people reach you?
It's best to email me, and the email address is very easy, simple. It's reportingfromisrael@gmail.com. The three words become one.
Reportingfromisrael@gmail.com. Is that right?
That's right. That's correct.
Okay.
So then I will answer directly if somebody asks me a question and give you more information if you're interested.
Because if you're in a position to help out financially, because of course Cheryl is over there and she's taking things to the Israeli people and to the Palestinian people who need so much help. Let's go to Chuck calling from Austin, from Auburn Hills, Michigan. Hi, Chuck. How are we doing?
We're doing great. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. Thank you.
Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I got a question. I'm just wondering why Netanyahu is allowing the Palestinians to even be in Gaza, and why don't they just run them out of there? It's Israel's land; they don't belong there. And I don't want my enemy living in my house.
Okay, fine. Let's give Cheryl a chance to respond. Why did, of course, they drive the Israelis out of Gaza and let the Palestinians come in and take over Gaza?
Well, Gaza was part of Israel, and Israel gave that land over to the Palestinian Authority for peace. As we know, rockets have been coming in by the thousands. They didn't give them peace. Hamas won the election, and now they're the governing party of Gaza. If Israel takes them out, they will have so many of the Western nations on their tail that they wouldn't survive. Israel wouldn't survive. Even going in to stop the rocket fire was hard enough for Israel to do without getting all kinds of condemnation world.
Let me just point out, Chuck, the reason that Netanyahu did it was he was told by the people in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is directing Israel's foreign and domestic policy. Hang on, we'll be right back.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. And Chuck, if you have any question about what's going on over in Israel, you should listen to our programs with Barry Shamish, who's an Israeli investigative reporter, and he will tell you quite openly that Netanyahu is simply carrying out what he is told to do by the American State Department. Did you have another question before he lets you go?
Yeah, so that's the case, you know, that we gave it to them for peace. Well, they're not being peaceful, and so they didn't hold up to the agreement.
That's right.
So that's over with. It's time to quit playing games. There's 60,000 people dying over there in Syria. Iraq's getting a nuclear weapon.
Thank you so much.
One thing, Doc, Gaza is Israel's land.
It was theirs, so let's keep it. 1967 war. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's keep our land, and we're not giving it away no more, and let Israel stand their own ground. You're not giving us your country and your land, and you can't have ours.
Okay, thanks very much, Chuck. Bye-bye. God bless. And do you have any thoughts at all on that, Cheryl?
Yes, and he's right. Israel needs to hold on to what they have, not just because we want the land, but because they need it strategically. They're being encroached on, and if we looked at a map of Israel, people would see that the Palestinians are in many places and they can attack Israel very easily. They're going to negotiate for as much as they can. When they cannot negotiate anymore, they will use force to get the Israelis out. Their whole goal, Palestinian goal, and it's in the Hamas charter, that they need to wipe out Israel. That means no one standing. They really don't want peace with Israel. And they're not popular if they're a leader and they say they want peace. So Hamas is in a horrible situation because he has to say he wants peace. And now people want Hamas to control all of the Palestinian territory.
Who funds Hamas? Have you ever gotten into the background of that? Who is giving Hamas the money and the weapons?
Yeah, Iran has been funding Hamas. Iran has been sending weapons, missiles over to them, even the long-range missiles. And they have sent them technology and ways to make missiles in Gaza. The boats go to Egypt. They go to Libya, I believe it was Libya, then to Egypt, and then to
Hold that thought, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening, Cheryl Hancock, who's over in East Jerusalem. It's 7 o'clock in the morning there, about 7:30. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Cheryl's been over there for 12 years, of course, ministering to the Palestinians, ministering to the Israelis. And, of course, she's trying to keep us informed as to what's really going on in that area. And, of course, the great tragedy is that the United States is funding the Palestinians. Why are we funding for the Palestinians? For the same reason we're funding the Egyptians. We're funding the Jordanians. We're funding all of Israel's enemies. And nobody ever asks, why are we funding Israel's enemies? And, well, that's a program for another time. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question for Cheryl. Well, Cheryl, certainly, what's happening to the living standards of the average Israeli? Certainly, we know that they have a lot of excellent businesses over there, that some people are doing very well, but how is the average individual doing? Are they able to get a job? Are they able to support themselves well? Or is certainly the economy doing poorly, as it is in so many parts of the world?
Well, actually, it's not doing as bad as in America. They're doing pretty good. I know that there's the people that are suffering, and they are trying to bring that to the attention before the elections right now. But the unemployment rate went down, so people are getting work. But it's a different society over here. They have national insurance, and doctors don't get paid like they do in America. People get less wages, and the cost of living is higher. As I said before, the gas now is close to $9 a gallon over here, and we live with it. We just have to live with what's going on. It's not easy to live here, which is amazing that so many people, especially Westerners, are coming and making Aliyah immigration to Israel. Their statistics went up. The population went up. There's over 7 million Jews here in Israel that have come from many different countries, and now they're coming from India. Yeah, they're flying in from India. 7,200 people have been granted the immigration, and these people are supposed to be the sons of Manasseh, one of the lost tribes, and they're coming over to Israel. So people are coming here in streams by the thousands.
And I think, ladies and gentlemen, if you look at this logically, why would people, Jewish people from all over the world, be leaving their homes and security to go to live in Israel? And apparently a fair number of American Jews are leaving America and going over there. I know certainly one of our producers, his cousin, certainly was doing very well here, a Jewish couple, and they decided that they wanted to be in Israel at this time, and yet it's such a dangerous time. Anybody who certainly is studying what's going on realizes that there probably is going to be a war over there, and there may be serious casualties, and yet Jews are being almost as if they're being drawn by an invisible hand to Israel. Would you say that would be a fair estimate? I'm sure you must have talked to some of these people who are immigrating and coming into Israel. What's the response you get when you talk to them?
Yeah, what's funny is the people that are coming from Russia, a lot of them aren't Orthodox Jews. They don't read the Bible. And when they're told the scriptures that say, I'm going to bring them from, the Lord speaking, I'm going to bring them from the north, south, east, and west, and they're going to make this land fruitful, when it was a desert, all these prophecies have been fulfilled. And they begin crying. They say, my gosh, I'm part of this. I spoke with an ultra-Orthodox Jew the other day, and some of them believe that Israel will not be and should not even be here. The Israelis shouldn't be here until the new Jerusalem comes. But when I pointed out the scriptures in their own Bible, he was very quiet because he saw prophecy being fulfilled. Yes, they're getting it. They understand it. They're part of prophecy. They have been God's chosen people. And it says the Gentiles will come alongside them. And, you know, we have the light of Christ living in us. We have the light of God living in us. We don't have to say too much. They know the Bible, some of them better than the Christians know. But we need to be a light. We need to be there to answer questions, and we need to be there to love these people. They feel so alone over here, Dr. Stan. They feel like no one loves them and the whole world's against them because anti-Semitism is happening all over the world. All they want to know is that people care about them, and we need to show them that they're cared for and God cares for them.
I think you're absolutely right. I think, that, of course, that some of the people, some of the Jewish people, are becoming Christians. But basically, of course, it's amazing, as I talk to some of the people, Jewish people who become Christians, they've almost had supernatural experiences. Things that certainly the average Gentile, certainly a Christian, as they grow up in the church, or they've had certainly some experience that brought them to Christianity. But so many of the Jewish people who become Christians truly have had a supernatural experience of some sort. Have you run into that?
Yes, I have, as a matter of fact. Many of them tell me about these things that happened to them. And yes, they're being baptized by the dozens over here. They're having dreams. They're having visions. They're being healed. And so are the Arab people. I have talked to so many Arab people that have had experiences, supernatural experiences, and that has caused them to become Christians, and then they go back and tell their family knowing that they could be killed. And the Jewish people know they can lose their families. A lot of them have. They lost their families, but they give up that risk to tell people the truth after they find it out. Yes, so the Lord's working where we can't go. The Lord teaches them himself and shows himself to them. Just like Paul, Saul of Tarsus, knocked him off his horse, blinded him, and he stopped killing the Christians, but instead he became a Christian. It's happening over here also now. Not getting knocked off the horse, but having dreams and visions.
I think it's important that people understand there really are supernatural things that are happening today. They've happened, of course, we're told in the Bible they've happened in the past, but there are supernatural things that are happening today. And they're happening in Israel, they're happening here in America. We've talked to a number of people who've had these supernatural experiences. This is not simply a crazy talk. There really is a supernatural element to everything going on today. And until you understand the spiritual forces at work, very little taking place in the world really makes any sense. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to talk to Cheryl, if you have a question, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295, and basically somebody had called in and asked about whether it's safe for a tourist to come to Israel at the present time. Certainly, with the thought of a war over there with Syria, with the thought of a war with Iran, is it safe for tourists to come to that part of the world?
Yes, yeah, a question I get all the time, and of course, no one has attacked tourists. They don't want to attack tourists. The Palestinians and the Jewish people want the tourists to come. They want them to come and spend their money, help them grow, show them that they care. Even Bethlehem, there were so many tourists here during Christmas, and even now Christmas is on the 6th. Well, they have Christmas three times because of the Orthodox Eastern Christmas. So Bethlehem has been crowded. No one will hurt the tourists. They want them to keep coming back. It's a very safe place for tourists. You're protected on every side. You've got a guide that knows what's going on. You have an Arab bus driver that knows what's going on. The Arab and Jews work together to keep the tourists safe. It's not a problem.
All right, fine. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I think Barbara and I have been over there 6 times, and it was always an exciting experience. We haven't been able to get back in many years because we're doing talk radio now, but certainly we're just talking the other night about all the wonderful adventures we had on our trips to Israel. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience. And certainly we're all going to have to go sometime, but certainly I would not be adverse at all to going to Israel. But I do believe that we're moving into very, very difficult times in that part of the world. Well, certainly, what are some of the other things that we need to talk about this evening? We've got about, another 15 minutes. Well, once again, want to get your email address out, and then what are some of the messages you'd like to leave with our listeners here in America? In fact, we have listeners all over the world, but let's get your website out one more time, or your email one more time, and then tell us your thoughts, the message you'd like to leave with our listeners.
Mm-hmm. My email address is reportingfromisrael@gmail.com. It's all one word, reportingfromisrael@gmail.com. And I will answer questions because that comes directly to me. So one good thing, I want to tell you some good things that's going on here in Israel. Interesting, I should say. Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, is having Bible studies in his home. And his father used to do this years ago. And this is something that's kind of been handed down to the leadership, but it was stopped for a while. But Netanyahu decided he was going to start it up again. So he has, they call it a prayer circle, a Bible study, at his house, in his residence, and people come and they discuss the scripture of the week. Jewish people have a scripture, it's called the Torah portion, that they look at all over the world. Everyone looks at the same Torah portion and reads it. Now, when you go to a synagogue or you go and you talk to a Jewish person, they're all on the same scripture. So I can read that same scripture and give my opinion of what it means. They love doing that. They love hearing different people's opinions. So Netanyahu gave his opinion of what this week's Torah portion was. Very interesting. But he's showing that the leadership needs to lead by following the Lord. And this is very interesting because, no, he's not a born-again Christian. But he wants the eyes of the people to go up to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because, you know, there's some point when Israel's going to be alone, as you said, that all nations will come against Israel. The only one on their side is going to be the Lord, who is the best one to have on our side, because it's God before us who can be against us. And so he knows the scripture, and he's leading his people this way. It's very interesting. So actually, Israel, you know, they're turning back. They're looking towards God. And yes, I agree, they need to know him personally. They need to know his name. But they check the mezuzahs. The mezuzah is the, on the doorpost. You have scripture. And in the Bible, it tells them to put the scripture on their doorpost so they don't forget. Every door in Israel has a mezuzah with the scripture in there. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and we will love the Lord our God with all our hearts, minds, and souls." And that is on every single door. Well, they do a mezuzah check every year. I didn't know that. And they make sure the scripture's in there, and they're all in good shape. And so they found 40% were good. The rest they had to replace. So they keep an eye on this stuff that is required in the Bible, that God asked them to do in the Bible. They do remember God. So we need to be praying for them, for their eyes to be open, that they can have a personal relationship, and that God loves them.
Well, I think it's important that people understand that the return of the children of Israel to the Holy Land has been prophesied almost 2,000 years ago. And I do not believe that the children of Israel would be in Israel, that this would be the homeland if it wasn't been decreed by God. And certainly there's no way that Israel is going to be able to survive without God's help. I mean, they're outnumbered 30 or 40 to 1, certainly. I mean, you're looking at Turkey, you're looking at Jordan, you're looking at Syria, you're looking at certainly all of the Arab countries in North Africa and the rest of the Middle East there, and they all hate Israel. They want to destroy that little nation, and the only way it's going to be survived is with God's help. And of course, if the people certainly are true to God, I think eventually he is going to reveal himself fully to them. Most of them are traditional Jews. They're waiting for their Messiah to come without understanding that their Messiah is the Antichrist. And of course, he will be replaced eventually by the one that we follow. But there's so much confusion over there. But of course, at least I believe God is working in Israel. He has kept them there. He has... They've won three wars. Every one of them they should have lost, but they've won them. And I believe, of course, it's only as people turn are loyal to God that he is loyal to them. This is why I fear for my country, because my country has turned against God. And as Thomas Jefferson said so well, God is just, and his justice will not... God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I would like to tell you also that in Israel, there's been problems. No one has really heard about this. They're actually, the government's starting to call it a third intifada, maybe coming here. There have been problems in a lot of different places. Israeli soldiers especially have been attacked. Cars have had rocks thrown at it, been fired on. The Jewish people are being fired on by the Palestinian people. It's getting very dangerous as far as going into the West Bank. For me, I take a lot of clothing and food there to the poor people, but it's getting more and more dangerous for me to go to these places. And one of the things is that the lies are increasing. One of the lies that came out recently is that the Western Wall, that used to be called the Wailing Wall, they are saying that that's occupied territory, that Israel does not have any right to be at that wall, and the Palestinians want that as part of their capital. So Netanyahu lit one of the Hanukkah candles this year at the wall and said, this is where one of our great miracles took place, and we're not going to let go of this. So we can see that one of the fights coming down to is Jerusalem. There will be a fight over Jerusalem and who gets control of that. But we need to fight the lies with the truth. So if people come to Israel, they will learn the truth. If people search for the truth, they will find it. But don't just listen to lies in the media, because we're told so many things. It's very confusing. The truth, I pray, prevails over the lies. Israel is battling a battle against lies right now. We know the father of lies is the enemy himself. So we need to spread the truth as much as we can. Like Dr. Stan, you're doing that. And I appreciate the work you and your wife do.
Well, we're just so fortunate to have a voice in a time such as this, and just so very, very grateful for it, and for all the people who do help and support us. Well, again, of course, Cheryl is doing a very dangerous job over there and going into the Palestinian areas very often. Do you have anybody going in with you, or do you usually drive in by yourself?
Well, I try to take people with me. I especially try to take a translator because I speak very little bit Arabic. I speak Hebrew than Arabic, and it's getting too dangerous to go by myself. They would love to kidnap Americans. They do not like Americans, and I have yellow plates, which those are Israeli plates. Green plates are Palestinian plates. So when they see yellow plates coming in the West Bank, they think I may be Jewish and I'm a target. So I do try to take help with me. I have some runs to do this week. I have to get into the West Bank area and get some clothing to some people that are really cold, especially children. So I do appreciate prayers
and
as I go.
Please do pray for Cheryl, because basically the only thing that really is going to keep her going is God's protection. And if people are praying for her, I really do believe it will help. I will tell you that, Sydney, we've been able to maintain our ministry here because I think we have people all across America, all across the world, praying for our little ministry. But we ask you, of course, to also pray for Cheryl, because she's on the front lines of this battle doing something I wish I could do. I'd love to go over there and minister to the Palestinian people and the Israeli people, but I'm just not able to do that. And so Cheryl is over there representing us and representing others. And if you certainly are in a position to help Cheryl, of course, you can certainly get in touch with her at one more time, your webpage.
My email address is reportingfromisrael@gmail.com. And I want to thank you, Dr. Stan, for your support. You send financial support to me. And believe me, I'm not afraid to go to these areas, because the Lord, I know, has called me to be here, and He protects me. But I will use wisdom. But thank you for your support. It's been doing tremendous over here.
Well, you see, I really believe God has called me to do what I'm doing. I don't know why me. And I believe, of course, our previous guest, Paul McGuire, the last hour, I believe we're called to do what we're doing, and as long as we're faithful. Hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, Cheryl, we've got 3 minutes, and then I'll let you go. So let you get some breakfast. So what is the message you'd like to leave with our listeners here? What would you like to tell them?
Well, I'd like to ask for prayer for not only, it says in the Bible to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We definitely need to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem and for the people, the Jewish people. People are really, they're without hope. When they have a child, they don't know if that child is going to be able to keep that home that they live in, if that child's going to get work, what's going to happen. I feel hopelessness over here for the people. They need your prayers. And there are workers over here that go to tell them hope, and those people need prayer, because the situation is that anyone that does not fit in can be attacked if you go to the areas that, for instance, where I live. So your prayers are really needed over here. And I thank all of you for who are praying for the peace of Jerusalem and for the people that work here.
God bless you, Cheryl. Thank you for everything you're doing. We'll look forward to talking to you next month at the same time.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night. Yes. God bless.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Good stuff with Cheryl. I will be back here in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, and we do hope you enjoyed our conversation with Cheryl Hancock, and certainly she's a very courageous woman. We're proud to know her and to be able to support her. And if you're in a position, why, we hope that you will as well. She is our representative over there working with the Jewish and the Palestinian people. And when she goes into certainly the Palestinian area, she's risking her life. But she does this because she loves the Lord, and she's brought many of those Palestinian people into a personal relationship with God and baptized them. And she's baptized literally hundreds of people over there in the 12 years she's been there. What a privilege it is to know and to be able to support Cheryl and be able to pray for her. Well, this is the time when I need to mention that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. Our number 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. You can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. You can advertise with us. If you have a product to advertise, you can certainly get the various products that we have. All of these things help to keep us going. And so if you would like to join the Radio Liberty family, 1-800-544-8927. Now, how do we understand what's going on in the world today? Well, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you really need to. It is an excellent overview of what's going on in the world today, because there really are secret societies, but they are bound together by a common goal. And that is, of course, to create a one-world government, a one-world financial system, to destroy Christianity. And that's why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. And that's why the media is always, of course, putting on anti-Christian programs. And whenever they're talking about history, they always say, you know, and 500 million years ago or 2 billion years ago, it's all a lie. It's to convince you that evolution is true and that to deny the existence of the God who created the heavens and the earth. So understand that the media is controlled, and there are only a few places you're really going to get the truth, and I believe Radio Liberty is one of them. And so if you'd like to become part of our group, let us know. But you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We hope that perhaps you'll want to get a case of the book, and you get them very economically. And then, of course, you can give these to others. You can, and it can actually change their lives and hopefully bring them into an understanding of what is really going on today. Because what's going on today is so amazing. How could the media in America be controlled? Very simply, people with great wealth have gone around and bought up most of the major media outlets, whether it be newspapers or magazines or certainly or television or radio or publishers. And if you look at the publishings, you find there are about 10 different major publishing houses, all owned by the same people. And of course, this is happening as they simply bought up certainly station after station. Comcast, I think, has something like 800 to 1,000 radio stations across America. And they're using them not to reveal the truth, but to conceal the truth. You need to see, and of course, now, of course, they control the NBC. They bought it from General Electric. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, a small group of very wealthy people who, of course, give allegiance to a different God have taken over control of the media in America and largely control what the American people think. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear my talk on the Agenda 21, the covert plan. My talk on certainly the population control, the covert agenda. And you can get, of course, the Agenda 21, the covert plan, comes with a syllabus. You need to get my talk on the hidden agenda, gets into water fluoridation of the syllabus. My talk, certainly, on the specter haunting America, how they're using vaccines to destroy America, to disseminate cancer. They know what they're doing. The documentation is there, and you need to help us get it out. So again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. If you go to our section on the Internet, you can hear us 24 hours a day. And then we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for our ministry of Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Thank you.
from the mountain, through the prairie, through the ocean, white with gold. God bless America, my home.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 3 January, Thursday, 2013. Thank you so much for joining us today, caring about your world, wanting to learn more about ourselves, teaching more every single day. It's all about the truth, if you can find it, and that's the hard part. And that probably is right in line with the fiscal fraud bill, that fiscal fraud cliff bill. Hanging on, or were we pushed off? I think we were probably pushed off, as is most of the manner, as is the manner in which most things are being done today. It's all about control. Every single thing is about control, whether it's money or whether it's about military, law enforcement. Everything is about control. And that is so sad, to feel that we are taking the position of being impotent, that we are just, oh, well, what can we do? I was thinking about this yesterday. The people out there that don't have the support group